friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never see no more.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Around the world and on satellite.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth.
Hey. Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Fate of Nations. Radio Network. I'm your host, Brett Folks, broadcasting live on the 28th day of December 2005. This year is about cashed, and we'll be going into a new year, 2006, and I think there will be big things happening in this new year. But just taking a look at some of the news of the day, the NSA, just one of many spying agencies spying on Americans. And Doug Thompson of Capitol Hill Blue, again, with a great article saying that this has been going on for a long, long time, and this is nothing new. He says that, you know, the FBI has been doing it, the CIA has been doing it, and the NSA has been doing it. He talks about people who have quit over it and it, within the system in disgust, saying that that these agencies are not protecting the country. They're just spying on everyday Americans and creating dossiers on everyone. But today, I got a special guest with me, Ned Kelly from the Revere Radio Network. Ned, are you with me today? All right. Ned was supposed to be calling in, and hopefully he'll do that. But if not, I'll just go over news and analyze what's going on. And guys at the network, just notify me when Ned calls in if he does. But just going through this Capitol Hill Blue article, spying on Americans by the super-secret National Security Agency is not only more widespread than President George W. Bush admits, but it is part of a concentrated government-wide effort to gather and catalog information on U.S. citizens, sources close to the administration say. So they admit it. Besides the NSA, the Pentagon, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Homeland Security, and dozens of private contractors are spying on Americans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's a total effort to build dossiers on as many Americans as possible, says a former NSA agent who quit in disgust over use of the agency to spy on Americans. We're no longer in the business of tracking our enemies. We're spying on everyday Americans. It's really obvious to me that it's a look-at-everything type program, says cryptology expert Bruce Schneier. Schneier says he suspects that the NSA is turning its massive spy satellites inward on the U.S. and intentionally gathering vast streams of raw data from many more people than disclosed to date, potentially including all emails and phone calls within the United States. But the NSA spying is just one tip of the iceberg. Although supposedly killed by Congress more than 18 months ago, the Defense Advanced Project Research Agency's Terrorist Information Awareness, TIA, system, formerly called the Total Information Awareness Program, is alive and well and collecting data in real time on Americans at a computer center located at 3801 Fairfax Drive in Arlington, Virginia. The system set up by retired Admiral John Poindexter, once convicted of lying to Congress in the Iran-Contra scandal, compiles financial, travel, and other data on the day-to-day activities of Americans, then runs that data through a computer model to look for patterns that the agency deems terrorist-related behavior. Poindexter admits the program was quietly moved to the Pentagon's Black Bag program, where it does congressional oversight. TIA builds a profile of every American who travels, has a bank account, uses credit cards, and has a credit record, says security expert Alan Banks. The profile establishes norms based on the person's spending and travel habits. Then the system looks for patterns that break from the norms, such of such as purchases of materials that are considered likely for terrorist activity, travel to specific areas, or a change in spending habits. So really, if you have anything that is linked with an agency, you know, such as a credit card or a bank account, or if you use anything besides cash on any transaction, then that's all going into a database, the TIA admits, listeners. So this is very obviously very widespread, and you know, I've got a bank account, I've got two credit cards, so obviously there's a dossier on me, and I'm sure people listening to this program don't just pay for everything in cash. I mean, nobody really does anymore, so there you go. Intelligence pros call the process data mining, and that is something that the NSA excels at, as well as former NSA signals intelligence analyst Russell Tice. The technology exists, says Tice, who left the NSA earlier this year. Say Aunt Molly calls in Oklahoma calls her niece at an army base in Germany and says, "Isn't it horrible about those terrorists on September 11th? Tice told the Atlanta Constitution recently. That conversation would not only be captured by NSA satellites listening in Germany, which is illegal, but flagged and listened to by the NSA analysts and possibly transcribed for further investigation. All you'd have to do is move the vacuum cleaner a little to the left and begin sucking up the other end of that conversation. You move it a little more, and you could be picking up everything people are saying from California to New York." The Pentagon has built a massive database of Americans it considers threats, including members of anti-war groups, peace activists, and writers opposed to the war in Iraq. So I fit all of those groups. Pentagon officials now claim they are reviewing the files to see if the information is necessary on the war on terrorism. And like I've said earlier in this program, folks, the war on terror has nothing to do with actual terrorism, because the United States government was behind September 11th. The Iraq war is a fraud. The Afghanistan war is a fraud because it's based off of a fraud, September 11th. And this article goes on, "Given the military's legacy of privacy abuses, such vague assurances are cold comfort," says Gene Healy, senior editor of the Cato Institute in Washington. "During World War I, concerns about German saboteurs led to unrestrained domestic spying by U.S. Army intelligence operatives," says Healy. "Army spies were given free rein to gather information on potential subversives and were often empowered to make arrests as special police officers." That's right, we lost a lot of our constitutional rights during World War I as Woodrow Wilson. He was probably the second worst president in American history behind President George W. Bush. And I'm not just saying that because I don't like George W. Bush. I understand he's a puppet, but I'm going off of the off of how much of the Constitution has been shredded under each one of these men. And it is, folks, the Constitution almost no longer exists. Really, the administration just gives the Constitution lip service so it doesn't tee people off who still might support the neocons, who are real conservatives who just haven't woken up yet. It goes on, "Army spies were given free rein to gather information on potential subversives and were often empowered to make arrests as special police officers. Occasionally, they carried false identification as employees of public utilities to allow them, as the chief intelligence officer for the Western Department put it, to enter offices or residences of suspects gracefully and thereby obtain data." Again, this was in World War I, so it's a good comparison to what's going on today, where the country, you know, the citizens sort of rally behind the government in a time of crisis, and World War I was a setup job, just like what's going on today. "There's a long and troubling history of military surveillance in this country," Healy adds. "That history suggests that we should loathe allowing the Pentagon access to our personal information." Exactly. That's exactly what I've been saying. And you've got an expert saying the exact same thing. This government cannot and will not protect you. It's only interested in preserving its own power, its own authority. And my goodness, that history suggests that we should loathe allowing the Pentagon access to our personal information. Yes, absolutely. This government just has a history of abuse throughout history. We've never really lived under a constitutional republic the way the Founding Fathers wanted it to be. The Constitution has always been under attack. and people in power have been given way too much power. this article goes on. In her book, Army Surveillance in America, historian Joan M. Jensen noted, what began as a system to protect the government from enemy agents became a vast surveillance system to watch civilians who violated no law but who objected to wartime policies or to the war itself. That's what we see with anti-war protests. We had the article come out this week of New York police officers infiltrating public gatherings, whether it's an anti-war gathering, whether it's a vigil for a dead biker. Okay, I know that sounds absurd, but yeah, the police officers are in New York City are infiltrating these meetings and gathering information on the participants, and this is East Germany, this is Stasi, this is KGB tactics. All right, where infiltrators will come in, and you know, we talk about if this movement has been infiltrated, and I'm sure it has by this point. And you've got to discern who's genuine and who's not. You got to see who is giving out good information and who's not, whether it's a radio show host or whether whoever it may be. But this is very pertinent. You know, this comparison between what happened in World War I and what is happening today. This woman, Joan M. Jensen, in her book, Army Surveillance in America, says, again, what began as a system to protect the government from enemy agents became a vast surveillance system to watch civilians who violated no law but who objected to wartime policies or to the war itself. It's an effing nightmare, says a congressional aide who recently obtained information on the program for his boss but asked not to be identified because he fears retaliation from the Bush administration. We're collecting more information on Americans than on real enemies of our country. That's very telling also that this person does not want to be identified because he's afraid that the government's going to retaliate against him. In some Latin American countries, you can say whatever you want against the government and nothing will happen to you. But not in America, not in the land of the free, home of the brave anymore. You have to be afraid for your safety and your security if you speak out. If you're in a position of power and you speak out, then you have to be afraid for yourself. You have to be afraid for your family. And you've heard my stories, so I'm not gonna go into them. Senator John Rockefeller says he raised concerns more than 2 years ago about increased spying on Americans, but as a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, could not share that concern with colleagues. For the last few days, I've witnessed the President, the Vice President, the Secretary of State, and the Attorney General repeatedly misrepresent the facts, Rockefeller said last week. When he first briefed about the activity in 2003, we sent a handwritten note to Vice President Dick Cheney outlining his concerns. And it goes on telling about how Cheney lied and how Rockefeller, who I'm no fan of, says that his concerns were not addressed and he wasn't able to share his concerns with his colleagues. But this is what we are facing. We have an enormous government, an overpowerful government. This government should not have this much control, people. And this is what we're facing today. And they're spying on us because they don't really have an interest in protecting Americans, as the Constitution says that the government should. It has an interest in preserving its own power. And this, folks, you have got to be educated on what's going on. You have got to be informed and know that this is not what America is supposed to be. You have got to be informed about your privacy, and when your neighbor is spying on you, which does happen, then you've got to know that that's unconstitutional, and you've got to know that that is a violation of freedom. And we have a snitch society in this country. It seems like people will tell on others for basically no reason. And, you know, if a real crime's been committed, I'll call the police, because the police are supposed to be there to protect and serve. And if I'm being harassed by someone and they're going to, like, show up at my door, then the police are going to get called and that situation's going to be diffused. But at the same time, if I see somebody dumping trash in the wrong area, I'm not going to call Homeland Security on them. or if I see someone flick a cigarette out their window, that's not something that the police need to be called about. Or, you know, if I hear my neighbors get into a domestic dispute, I'm not just going to automatically call the police on them. Now, if I hear, you know, chairs breaking and a gunshot, then, yeah, I'm going to be dialing 911. But, folks, just, you know, leave your neighbors alone in their personal lives. Just let life play out. And just don't get involved in everybody's business. And don't start spying on your neighbors, because this is what they want. This is what they want to happen. They want people spying on one another. They don't want neighbors to be able to trust one another. And, you know, I would encourage you to, you know, stay out of your neighbor's personal life business. And, you know, don't be, you know, putting your ear to the wall and you know, see what they're talking about or anything. But get to know your neighbor. Just, you know, go over and knock on the door and get to know them and, you know, have them over for dinner or something like that. And just, you know, reestablish a community atmosphere in your area. Because when neighbors can trust one another, and when neighbors know one another, then they're not going to be suspicious of each other so much. And when martial law gets installed, if it does, if we let it, if the government carries out more terror attacks to blame it on the right wing, which I think they will do eventually, because the Patriot movement is gaining too much power. When that happens, then they're gonna have citizen tattletale squads going around and spying on their neighbors and reporting just little tiny things, and then arresting people for no reason, throwing them in concentration camps. I read you an article I wrote about that last week. So this is something we all need to be doing. We all need to get to know our neighbors, get to trust our neighbors, spread peaceful information about what's going on. And you don't fear the government, okay? When people are afraid of the government, there's tyranny. But when the government is afraid of the people, there's liberty. Thomas Jefferson said that. So don't fear this government, because if it's going to do something to you, it'll do it. You don't need to just be all paranoid, but don't do anything stupid at the same time. So think about that. And it just keeps going on, folks. Just think about what this will be like, what this country will be like when it's been totally destroyed, when the troops are on the streets. And at that point, the Constitution's dead. And at that point, it's every man for himself. And at that point, you know, we need to really look to God for our guidance. Here's another article out of the Bay City News Service in Oakland. The city of Oakland has agreed to pay $210,000 to settle a lawsuit filed by a woman who was injured when police fired a bag of lead shot at her head in an anti-war protest 2 years ago, a spokeswoman for the city attorney's office said today. Louise Coles, who suffered a golf ball-sized welt to her jaw, has agreed to the settlement, according to city attorney spokeswoman Erica Harold. The Oakland City Council tentatively approved the settlement in a closed session on Tuesday and is expected to give approval to its next meeting in January. Coles was one of at least 58 people who were injured at an April 7, 2003 demonstration at the Port of Oakland against the Iraq War, when Oakland police fired wooden bullets, sting ball grenades, and shot-filled bean bags at protesters. The Oakland Police Department has since revised its policies to ensure that those tactics aren't used indiscriminately. At least 46 of the victims have sued the city. Harold said the city has now reached settlements with more than 20 of the victims, but is still attempting to settle litigation with other victims. So this was just a month after the Iraq War started, and they were out there peacefully protesting, and then the Oakland police just start shooting at them. And so then this woman gets $210,000 to settle the lawsuit that finally got over 2 years later. And that's just another example of authority figures spying, of authority figures getting involved, and authority figures violating your First Amendment rights and shooting at you during a peaceful protest. And there's more that I'm going to get into as the program continues. But, you know, just think about a government, whether it's city, local, or national, who's going to spy on you, who's going to shoot at you at a peaceful protest. And we really need to get this country back, and we really need to reform and repeal a lot of this stuff that's going on. And everybody needs to think about that. And I'll be right back. Brett Bull, State of Nations on the First Amendment Radio Network.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Back on Fate of Nations on the First Amendment Radio Network. I'm your host, Brett Polk. An article out of Seattle Post, Secret Court Modified Wiretap Request. And this goes back to what I've been hammering on for 2 weeks now on this new program on the First Amendment Radio Network, about the government listening to you, the government spying on you. No, I'm not a kook for believing that this is going on, because I just read you NSA admissions. I just read you admissions of official people in the government saying that it's going on, official people who have quit over what has been happening. So I'm not crazy. I'm not paranoid. I'm just telling you what's going on. Again, from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, Washington Bureau. Government officials, or government records, show that the administration was encountering unprecedented second-guessing by the secret federal surveillance court when President Bush decided to bypass the panel and order surveillance of U.S.-based terror suspects without the court's approval. Yeah, and Bush, he justifies what's going on by saying, oh, I'm just following the Constitution to protect the American people, you know, just don't ask questions, everything's fine. A review of Justice Department reports to Congress shows that the 26-year-old Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court modified more wiretap requests from the Bush administration than from the four previous presidential administrations combined. Let me read that again. The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court modified more wiretap requests from the Bush administration than from the four previous presidential administrations combined. The court's repeated intervention in Bush administration wiretap requests may explain why the president decided to bypass the court nearly 4 years ago to launch secret national security agency spying on hundreds and possibly thousands of Americans and foreigners inside the United States, according to James Banford, an acknowledged authority on the super-secret NSA, which intercepts telephone calls, emails, faxes, and internet communications. They wanted to expand the number of people they were eavesdropping on, and they didn't think they could get the warrants they needed from the court to monitor those people. Bamford, the author of Body of Secrets, Anatomy of the Ultra-Secret NSA, said. And he's also the author of The Puzzle Palace, Inside America's Most Secret Intelligence Organization. The FISA court has shown its displeasure by tinkering with these applications by the Bush administration. Bamford offered his speculation in an interview last week, and it goes on about how many people have supposedly been spied on, and you know, it goes back to the Vietnam War when Americans were spied on in very, very large numbers, and also I gave the history of World War One and what was going on there, and so there we have it. And here's another article out of USA Today. Don't look too suspicious. Body language enough to mark you as a terrorist. Suspects' body language can blow their cover. Again from USA Today, Carl Macario noticed it the instantly he... Carl Macario noticed it the instant he watched a tape of three September 11th hijackers going through security at Dulles International Airport. Not one of the men looked at security guards. They all looked away and had their heads down. Avoiding eye contact with authorities is the kind of behavior that could indicate someone may be planning a terrorist attack, says Macario, a Transportation Security Administration official. And he says the fear of discovery changes people's behavior and body language. And, of course, those supposed terrorists on September 11th were nothing more than government agents participating in what they thought were drills. However, those planes were remote controlled. We have pilots on record, I mean experienced pilots who have been flying for 30 years, saying that there was no way that even they could have performed those maneuvers with the plane supposedly that went into the Pentagon, but magically no wreckage was found. And Rumsfeld admits that a missile hit it. He slipped and said that. And also pilots have said that there's no way that they could have, you know, 30-year veteran pilots said there's no way that they could have, performed those maneuvers to fly them into the World Trade Center towers. You just can't do it. And I've talked to pilots personally who said that. So, Hani Hanjour, who supposedly flew that plane into the Pentagon, who could hardly get a Cessna off the ground, let alone fly it, supposedly performed that maneuver with an enormous jumbo jet and all this stuff. They were not real terrorists, folks. They were government assets, and then they were burned by their government, and then we have September 11th, and the rabbit hole just continues to get deeper about September 11th. People are waking up about it, though. They know that something's wrong with it. I mean, even neocons are waking up about it. Next year, the TSA says it will train screeners at 40 airports in behavior analysis. The screeners will join a growing number of police officers learning to detect the subtle, often unspoken clues that terrorists and criminals could display. You know, this could start to apply to everyone. As, you know, I was saying that police officers are now infiltrating large group meetings. They're spying on us. The NSA has been spying on us for a long, 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 long time. The FBI has been doing the same. Just the spying of the J. Edgar Hoover administration decades ago should make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, let alone what's going on today. But the TSA, which is kind of like the new SA, they're gonna be checking your papers at the airports, and they're gonna be checking your papers at the train stations and the bus depots, just kind of like the way it happened in Nazi Germany. They're gonna be training people in behavior analysis, and like I said, this could start to apply to everyone. Because if people have been trained not to really, you know, look authorities in the eye, you know, so called authorities, but they're really your servants, they're trained to do all this stuff. So it's going to turn into a large dragnet of, are you a terrorist? It'll be like an 80-year-old woman who doesn't look a police officer in the eye. Are you a terrorist? You know, And that's what we're going to be facing in the new Fourth Reich that America has become. And we'll take the break at the bottom of the hour, and we'll come back, and we'll go over some more news and more information. It's Brett Volk on the First Amendment Radio Network.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today. You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Back on the First Amendment Radio Network at its State of Nations, and I'm your host, Brett Volk. Had some technical difficulties there, so I had to dial in on another number. I don't know if you were picking that up on your end or not, but the audio just didn't sound very good on my end. So calling in on another number, hopefully this is getting through. I'll check it on a Shoutcast server and make sure. But anyway, we were talking about the federal government spying on everyone. And folks, this is not your government. This has been taken over. It's been taken over by banking interests, and they have absolutely no compunction to serve you. There are some good people in government, but the people in power, have absolutely no compunction to serve you. And it's not their duty. The criminal elite is not their duty to serve you. They think it is their right to rule you. They think it is their right to dominate you. They think it is their right to do all this stuff. And folks, you've got to understand what's going on. You've got to understand that this is not your government, that this has been taken over. It goes back to the foundation of the New World Order in America. It goes back to the foundation of what has been of the system, the Federal Reserve Act, the Foundation Act of the New World Order in America. Folks, you've got to understand this. And sometimes I get frustrated because I'm a very impatient person. I just want this stuff to happen so quickly, and this information is so documented, it is so provable. I don't know why it's not taking. Well, I do know why it's not taking hold, but I wish it was taking hold more quickly. The reason it's not taking hold is we have a very controlled media, we have a very controlled system here in America, and we've become fat and happy in America. And we've gotten used to the way things are. We've gotten used to not questioning things. And we're so dumbed down. I'm dumbed down. You are too. I'm not trying to insult you. I am too. But, you know, we're the ones who have broken through the conditioning. We're the ones who have broken through the government school system, where you're taught not to question things, where you're taught to not think for yourself, where you're taught to just go along and fall in line and obey. Listen, I went through government school systems from kindergarten until my senior year in high school, until I graduated. I went through it. And the stuff I learned was stuff that I wanted to research on my own. And that's the way it is today as well. You know, I just graduated high school 4 years ago, and I'm about to graduate college, and you know, in another year, and that's the way it is today. Also, in a higher education institution, it's also government run. I go to a government subsidized school, and I'm young. I'm the youngest person on this network by far, and so you're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth. This conditioning goes way back. It goes way back into when you're a child, and I would encourage parents to go on ahead and put their child in either homeschool your child, which for some reason is thought of as weird. You're thought of as crazy if you homeschool your child, whereas, you know, homeschooled children win all the spelling bees and they're the smartest and they get the best test scores and all this stuff. Or put your kid in a private school if you can't homeschool them. You need to work your butt off to put your kid in a private school, because I've been through the public school system and I probably had a much better experience than 90% of Americans did. But still, I wasn't satisfied with my education. I knew it could have been a lot better. And I worked hard. I got very good grades in the public school system. It's not hard to. You just put a little bit of work in. And it's not hard to. But at the same time, I didn't have to work that hard. You know, and you should have to work hard, and you should have to want it. But this conditioning, you're not. It's really something when you see a child that overachieves and really goes above and beyond. My little sister is one of those, and she's a senior in high school, or she's going to be a senior really soon. Excuse me, but no, she is definitely one of those, and she knows what she's talking about, and she's smarter than I am, by far. So, you know, you got those kids, and they are the foundation of this second American republic that we're gonna form. And we're gonna get rid of this illegal government, and we're gonna install a second American republic here in America based around the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And the young people are gonna be the foundation. It's one of the reasons why I went over to this network from Revere Radio Network, is more young people need to hear this message. If I'm on here, and again, I'm the youngest by far on this network, then more young people are going to be hearing this, And the Revere Radio Network is doing an excellent job of getting young people involved in this fight. And so we need to all work together and branch out and just, you know, kind of going along with the threat of young people in this movement. There's this piece from the Cartoon Network, the New World Order propaganda. I'm not sure what cartoon it was. I was sent this clip by somebody I know, or a link to this clip, and the characters in the cartoon mention the New World Order twice, but it's completely out of context, and it really has no use. It's just propaganda to get people to hear New World Order, and when you hear it in a cartoon, you're not watching a cartoon to get informed and to start knowing things. You're watching a cartoon to entertain yourself, and when you start hearing New World Order in cartoons, then you're going to get conditioned that it's good. You're going to get conditioned that this is what we hear on a daily basis in the media, and this is what we're facing. We're facing very well crafted propaganda on the television set, and I mean, since I got rid of my television, I'll go home and watch TV with my parents, or you know, if I'm out somewhere and I see a program on, I'll sit down and I'll watch it for a minute, but you just see so much, like with the United Way and the NFL. I was watching some NFL games a while ago. There's United Way commercials all over the place, and in my town, I live in neocon land, folks. It's scary sometimes. I see, you know, support the United Way banners all over the place. And the United Way is a branch of the United Nations, and we've exposed the United Nations. Chris Gerner does an excellent job, you know, exposing the United Nations and Agenda 21. But, I mean, we have the NFL and the United Way teaming up. We have Agenda 21 all over the place with land use. We have microchips all over the place now. I heard a commercial on local radio about your pets running away, you know, like your dog or your cat. And they're saying the way to combat, you know, your pets running away is to implant them with a microchip. And there are still, you know, there are still folks who, like Pat Robertson, of the Christian TV station, and I use Christian very loosely because he's a Freemason and he's written a book called The New World Order and flashes Illuminati hand signs all over the place and all this stuff. When I saw this video on the internet where he was on his television program, actually two videos I saw of him, where a woman either wrote a letter or wrote an email about her children's school and how it was either being fingerprinted or it had some sort of Big Brother connotation to it. And I'm sorry, I don't remember it, but it is still pertinent. And Pat Robertson, he was addressing this woman's question, and he said, he just kind of laughed at it, and he's like, oh, haha, you know, we can't get away from Big Brother, and, you know, we've got to have some Big Brother in our lives. And people still look up to Pat Robertson, folks. I've never liked the guy. I've never liked Jerry Falwell either. They are some of the biggest neocons around. A host on the old network, he went to Jerry Falwell's university over in Lynchburg, Virginia, and he confronted Falwell about the New World Order, and when he was getting his diploma, he said, you know, we need to talk about the New World Order. And Falwell got all pissed off, and he was like, no, that would just be inappropriate. We can't do that. And then the guy had to walk off. But I think that's very commendable that someone would do that. You know, another thing with Pat Robertson, the second thing I was talking about was he was saying a prayer on TV, and he formed his hand he extended his pinky and his pointer finger out, which is summoning Satan, really, and he did that while he was praying, and it was really obvious what he was doing. And you see the Illuminati type people, the people who subscribe to this really messed up faith, doing this all over the place. And I don't understand it, folks. I mean, I love Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. I've been a Christian all my life. And I just really don't understand it. I don't understand how somebody could really subscribe to that to that way of thinking, but you know, you can't judge the world based on your own values, your own notions, your own preconceptions. And that's what we face today, is we face people who are not Christians, we face people who are not Muslims, not Jews, who are not peoples of any real faith, who are running things, and they think it's their duty to run things. And we don't have moral men and women in power. We don't have moral leadership in this country anymore. We need moral leadership. I'm a Christian. I would like to see Christians in power, but you can also be a moral person and not have a faith. You can also be a moral person and be a Muslim or a Jew. And there are a lot of moral people who are in my life, who are my personal friends, who are not religious or who are Muslims or Jews, you know. So I'm not one of those who's going to go around and say, you know, if you're not a Christian, then you can't talk to me, or you know, you can't serve in government, because that's not what our country's about. I mean, our country's about understanding the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and being able to know what this country's all about. And this goes right in with an article Greg Zizmansky wrote just today. From ArcticBeacon.com, secret societies, satanic sects, the Priori du Sion, the Knights Templar, Freemasons, what's their purpose, and are they at the core of the New World Order? Secret societies like the Priori du Sion have tried to unravel Christianity, saying Jesus survived the crucifixion and raised a family with Mary Magdalena. Are the documents proving this hypothesis real, as revealed in the 1982 book Holy Blood, Holy Grail? Although many condemn the book, it spawned a whole new cult of readers still looking for answers and now trying these secret societies to the NWO. Also, why does the symbolism of skull and crossbones keep popping up throughout history? Greg Zizmansky, he's a talk show host over on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and he writes for the American Free Press. The subject of secret societies and satanic sects is usually left for parlor talk or after midnight bowl sessions and drinking parties. But as a young freelance reporter working in Rome near the Vatican, I became familiar with a group called the Priori du Sion, a secret society still in existence and supposedly dating back to 1090 AD, when a conclave of Calabrian monks left from the Belgian Abbey of Oval to help secure the election of Godfrey du Bouillon as de facto king of Jerusalem during the First Crusade. The secret sect came to my attention while having a double espresso and after noticing an article in the back pages of the some Italian newspaper, I can't pronounce it, sorry, mentioning the name of Sion's alleged grandmaster Pierre Plantard. And it goes on and gives a history of this, and it talks about the Knights Templar and the Merovingians in France and the Freemasons, and then it gets into the Illuminati, the history of this. And Tex Mars, he's written excellent books about this, and also Ralph Epperson, he wrote Masonry, the Conspiracy Against Christianity, and it all folds into what's going on there. Arctic Beacon and Greg Zizmansky, Zizmansky, he does great investigative reporting, and people need to visit his website, and he's got some great insights. Some of his stuff is slanted, as you'll get with any writer. It's not going to be completely unbiased, but it's a good source. And it just goes on. I don't spend a whole lot of time on the secret societies, because that's more other people do a better job at it. I'm more of a geopolitics guy, and I'm going to be discussing, you know, 9/11 and the Iraq War and stuff that really impacts everybody. Whereas secret societies, you've got to really do a whole ton of reading on it, and you've really got to understand what it's all about. I understand the basics with the hand signs, and that's how they communicate. They've got a secret language, and a lot of the numerology with 9/11 and 7/7 and 3/11 with all the different bombings. Hold a lot of significance, and you know, the lottery a year after September 11th in the New York lottery, nonetheless, came up 9/11. This is a way that the secret sects and the secret societies and the Illuminati and all this stuff, this is how they communicate with each other. And you know, we were talking to Ralph Epperson last week about the Knights of the Golden Circle, and and how secret societies are very influential on geopolitics. So I'm going to, you know, pretty much leave it up to men like him who have done more research on it. And again, I'm young. I've still got a lot of learning to do. But I'm going to leave it to mostly people like him. And they know more about the secret societies than I do. So I'll stick to geopolitics most of the time. But we're right back to finish out the broadcast. You're listening to Brett Bull on the First Amendment Radio Network. We'll be right back. Stay with you.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
FirstAmendmentRadio.com has made available a very low-cost satellite system, special just for First Amendment Radio listeners. In conjunction with Rick Satellite, you can now receive a complete system, including receiver, LNB, and small satellite dish, all for only $169 delivered to your door. Go to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage and click on the satellite system link to order the First Amendment Radio satellite system from Rick Satellite. Or, if you don't do internet, call Rick Satellite at 816-228-1801 and tell them you need the First Amendment Radio satellite system. Go to our homepage to order or call Rick Satellite at 816-228-1801. 1801. First Amendment Radio receives no compensation for this service.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. 4188. Toll free 1-800-375-4188.
Network. I'm your host, Brett Folks. Another article by Greg Zizmansky is, we looked in the New World Order's 2006 agenda. It's best to review the research and writings of one William Cooper. And William Cooper, Bill Cooper as he's better known, this used to be his time slot on the station. And Hour of the Time was the name of his program. And I've taken over this time slot. Chris Gerner told me about that. I had no idea. But yeah, before I started the show, Gerner told me about that, and it's a big shoes to fill, and I could never replace Bill Cooper and all his research. But I'm doing my best to at least do this information justice. But a great quote out of one of his 1997 writings, Majesty 12, Cooper says this. Quote, if you wish to remain free, you will have to fight for it, not because we want to fight or you want to fight, but because the traitors within our government will give us no choice in the matter. There will be either a revolution, the Marxist choice, or there will be a serious attempt to restore constitutional Republican government under law, the Patriots' choice. In any event, there will be war between the citizens of the United States of America and the Marxist minions of the subversive corporate United States New World Order. That's a pretty good quote, and I think he hits the nail on the head. Whether it's peaceful warfare, which, if there can be such a thing, this is an information war that we're in right now. This is a peaceful information war so far. There have been little skirmishes here and there, but it's nothing compared to what a civil war would look like in this country. It would just be horrible, folks, and that's why we've got to get ahead of this thing, and we got to cut off the head of this beast. It's in our backyard right now, and we're fighting against it. We're trying to keep it out of our house, but you know, it's got its hand on the back door, and it's about to reach in, and it's about to ravage the house, you know, that is America. And I've used that analogy before. In Cooper's final years, he worked alone in his Arizona home with his two dogs, rooster, and chicken, sending his family out of the United States in 1999 for their security. Prior to several years of Arizona desert solitude, Cooper became known as a world-class lecturer, appearing at Wembley Hall in London, as well as lecturing in every state of the Union during a 10-year period. And he also has the best-selling underground book of all time, Behold the Pale Horse. Known as a consummate researcher backing his New World Order theories with hard data from his days in U.S. Navy intelligence, Cooper always struck fear in the eyes of presidents, including Clinton, who mounted an FBI attack to silence Cooper's views. Shortly after the Oklahoma City bombing, Rush Limbaugh read a White House memo on the air during his broadcast, calling William Cooper, quote, the most dangerous radio host in America. Cooper was later quoted as saying Clinton's pronouncement was the greatest compliment that he has ever received. Further, Cooper's FBI file, which included references to his security clearances while in military service, was one of those unlawfully in possession of the White House in what has become known as Filegate. Shortly after this discovery, President Clinton ordered all federal agencies to begin investigation, persecution, and prosecution of Mr. Cooper to shut him up. This goes back to what I was saying earlier, the FBI, the NSA, all these alphabet soup organizations spying on Americans, and William Cooper was no exception. Certainly no exception. While engaged in ongoing federal battles with the FBI over free speech issues and the IRS, who tried to put a financial stranglehold on his affairs, Cooper went to work full steam, creating several documentaries about the JFK assassination and the government's UFO hoax in order to strike fear in Americans. And I don't get too much into the UFO stuff because I can't prove it. It's interesting, but when the mainstream media does hit pieces on patriots, they always try and lump them in with UFO crazies. And I'm not saying Cooper was that at all, and certainly wasn't, but there are those out there who are just crazy. And a lot of the stuff they talk about is UFO-related, and we're about restoring constitutional republicanism to this country. Cooper also believed in empowering Americans with free thought through newspapers and the airwaves, starting the KAJI News Service, Veritas National Full-Size Newspaper, the Intelligence Service, Harvest Publications, and has helped over 700 low-power FM affiliate stations get equipped and on the air, including the station he managed as trustee for the Independent Foundation Trust, 101.1 FM, Agar, Arizona, broadcasting to 7,000 people. And this article goes on, and I hope everybody, goes and researches what Cooper did, and we need to get his country back. I'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk more about what's going on. Thanks for tuning in. Brett Bolt signing off.